Let's get out to the Zone phone. Joining us now is the co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, the one and only Alex Curie. What's going on, Alex?
Fellas, how is it?
Alex, I know you've been on paternity leave for the last couple of weeks. Did you miss anything?
No. According to JJ, we just flew right through everything. I didn't miss a thing. And apparently, but I was told I should go on vacation more often. Maybe we'll get an NFL team.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, get Major League Baseball here.
Take a little bit longer.
All right. Yeah, what are your thoughts on, A, what's your relationship with hockey, and what are your thoughts on everything that's transpired over the last couple of weeks?
So this is interesting that this happened kind of while my oldest is almost 16. When I was almost turning 16, I think I was probably, either in ninth grade even, maybe just a little bit younger. The Stars moved from Minnesota to Dallas, where we're living. And, like, we, you know, as a guy, I mean, that's football country, you know? I mean, like, it was Cowboys country, and they were winning Super Bowls right before this, this kind of era. And why doesn't a hockey team go in Minnesota? Like, how do they lose their team? How do they lose the North Stars? Or how do they lose them to Dallas? Well, it was this weird shift that was happening during that time, and we're kind of seeing it now. And this is something we've talked about a little bit, obviously, and I've heard you guys talking about with all the amazing friends we've made in hockey media over the last few weeks. It's just like there's a weird, not weird, it's not weird anymore. It's a wild ride in the South, the Southeast, because this is not just a Northeast or a Canadian sport. When the Stars moved from Minnesota to Dallas when I was a kid, the whole community embraced it. Like, they packed out Reunion Arena, which is where the Mavericks played back then, and they packed out. And, you know, as a kid, what did we do? We bought rollerblades, and we got the street hockey sets, and we were out there like crazy. And the youth hockey programs down in Dallas blew up, which apparently, I mean, obviously we know it's not huge here, and I've always wondered that. Well, we don't have a lot of youth hockey here, which is weird. You should have it, but sometimes getting an NHL team here ends up kind of helping with that underpinning of youth hockey programs, which is what you need. They, you know, they're huge on that. It's one thing to be like, oh, we have baseball here, kids like to play Little League baseball, but apparently youth hockey being in a community is a huge part of what the NHL wants, needs, and is kind of critical to their success, not just for fandom and for people liking hockey, but for the sake of kind of getting some development going around this part of the country, which, frankly, we should have a lot more of.
What do you think about pouncing on the opportunity to get the Coyotes as opposed to maybe being more patient and getting an expansion team?
What are the benefits of the expansion? The draft is really favorable in the NHL, right? I mean, that's a cool thing, but what do you get in the NHL expansion draft? Really, really good players and a lot of young players that you are kind of forcing to come here because you're trying to force growth. But that already is happening, right, in Arizona, from what we can tell. Everybody's telling us, right? Like, and we just have to go off of what everybody says. They have a really, really good, defensive core. They have a lot of young dudes. Their goaltending is amazing. And that's all the stuff you would want to get in an expansion draft anyway. I mean, it's the best possible scenario just because of how speedy it was able to be done. Yesterday we were chatting with one of the beat writers from TSN, and he was like, this is an all hands on deck situation. They've never had something like this, a 6-month turnaround. But you know, if somebody can pull it off, we can. And obviously the season ticket deposits, which I don't really get how that works mathematically. Maybe it's like putting a deposit on an electric car you're never actually going to buy. You just put a deposit in, and then when the actual price comes out of it, you're like, oh, I'm not paying that much money. But I mean, I don't know how expensive it's going to be, but I love that they're coming. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Roll the dice on expansion and hope that people like Salt Lake? It's much easier to control this situation, it seemed like, from Ryan Smith's standpoint. And he and Gary Bettman, of course, kind of got along swimmingly from day one a couple of years ago. So this is the most preferable because it's the one that actually we know happened, and it felt like it was something that could be controlled more.
I think sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees because of just how close we are to everything that's going on right now. But Kevin Young is an enormous hire for BYU, and we can touch on that a little bit further. But getting an NHL team is absolutely enormous for Salt Lake City. The mayor all but announced that we're going to get the Olympics in 2034 at the right. Hockey press conference by saying, like, all we have to do is put in the bid and then it's ours because nobody else is bidding on it. Like, we are getting an Olympics, a huge head coaching hire at one of our local colleges, universities, right, and NHL in one summer. Like, this is a monumental summer for what it means to be a sports fan in Utah and being on the national map.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. Like, all of it is stuff that I think at some point, because I can be, we can get pretty pessimistic and go, no, we're not getting an NHL team in our lifetime. No, nobody likes Salt Lake that much. No, it's not going to happen. Kevin Young going to BYU? No freaking way. One, they can't pay him. Two, he's too big of a name. They're just, they're not going to be able to get it. That's like asking for Andy Reid. You know, I mean, how many, I know so many people, I'm not kidding. And they do it without irony too. They'll be like, I think that if we called Andy Reid after, you know, maybe a couple of years of winning Super Bowls, we'd be able to get Andy Reid down here to BYU. And I'm always like, you're insane. It felt like that because I had so many people being like, this Kevin Young thing's going to happen, right? I'm like, I don't know why he would want to leave $2 million a year as a lead assistant and one of these young names in the NBA to go to BYU, where he's certainly going to get a pay cut. And he did not get a pay cut. He doubled it, right? I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff with that story. And yeah, the Olympics coming is like almost like no big deal. We know how to host it. We know how terrible other cities are at it, and we know how good we can be at it. And it's like the hockey team is insane. A possibility of a Major League Baseball team is insane. And now we're kind of like accepting it. Like, no, you're good enough. We're good enough. There's no imposter syndrome anymore. Shouldn't have to be. It's a really, really good time to do what we do.
How do you think Pope will do at Kentucky?
I have a really hard time just imagining that, you know, his rah-rah attitude is going to be enough to get it done. I'm not dumb enough to think that, you know, that's all he's got, because that certainly is going to help with recruiting. And obviously it's not like he doesn't understand the culture there. He does. But it just is such a hard place. You know, it's like Kalen DeBoer is a really, really good head coach, but going to Alabama football, that's a whole different story, you know, and I'm interested to see how he does. I just feel like Kentucky isn't necessarily in an amazing place, and just adding, you know, Coach Pope and saying, well, you know, fix some of our woes, which have to do with, you know, just people not staying here for very long and trying to figure out the NIL thing, which they have a ton of. He's in a really, really good spot to be able to succeed, which makes it actually maybe a little bit harder. Does that make sense? Like, just asking a guy like, hey, we're giving you the keys to the kingdom, and that means you kind of got to get it done now. That's hard, you know, and it's a little bit tough too when you're the fourth choice. Like, I mean, it doesn't really, like, you know, have a ringing endorsement of all these other guys turned it down, but we really want you. That seems hard, but you know, Mark Pope has had mixed results, you know, kind of at the different places that he's gone, but he also seems to improve the place. So, I'm interested. I'm going to be, you know, we saw the official announcement with Colin Chandler today on Twitter with him going to Kentucky. We knew that was happening, which is a massive bummer for BYU. But then they get Kozlowski today, too. Like, I mean, it's just the wild ride of recruiting in college basketball is insane right now. And, you know, I hope Coach Pope does a good job, because I've always really loved that dude.
All right, more likely to succeed, Mark Pope in Kentucky or Zach Wilson in Denver?
Will Hardy at the Utah Jazz. Okay. No, that's tough. I mean, Zach Wilson may never see the field, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Who's still there in 3 years? Who's more likely to still be in that job in 3 years?
Oh, geez. Yeah, Pope will. Pope will be there longer than Zach Wilson would be, not because of anything else except for so little is in the hands of Zach Wilson. Like, so much of it is out of his control. You know, at least Mark Pope can say, I'm the guy, I can make all the decisions. Zach Wilson can go in there and sling a ball off platform and, you know, wow some people. And I think people really overshoot as to what Sean Payton's going to quote unquote do with him. Oh, he's a great offensive mind. What a great quarterback coach. Is like, yeah, but they probably aren't looking for you to fix everything. You know, add him to the list of guys who, You better show it out right now, because nobody is looking at it and going, oh, Baker Mayfield's the new blueprint. That's not it. Like, the old blueprint is quarterbacks who have been kind of relative busts. And that's not to say that he's not talented, because he's had a crappy hand dealt to him in New York. But it still doesn't matter. The NFL kind of goes, we know what you are, and we're going to base giving you a chance off of what we saw a long time ago, or 2 years ago, or even from this past season. And so, too much out of Zach's control for us to say, you know, that he'd be able to do it. Plus, they're going to draft another guy. Maybe he'll get a shot to get that QB1 job. And and beat out Jarrett Stidham for it. Heaven knows both of those guys. It feels like a Jake Retzlaff, kind of Gary Bohannon situation, right, where you're like, ah, wow, we don't really love either of these guys right now. We'll see what happens. And, you know, I hope Zach can at least prove something. But he still needs time to develop. Give the guy a couple of years just so we can learn a few more things instead of throwing him into the fire again.
Who has a better year next year, Zach Wilson with the Broncos or Caleb Williams and the Bears?
Zach will have a better year because he won't be criticized nearly as much. I think just in terms of on-field production, I don't even know if Zach's going to play. Like, I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be asked a lot, and I don't know if I love or hate what he did when he said, I'm going to try to win 8 titles and be the next Tom Brady. I mean, even people in Chicago are like, all right, back it off a little bit, buddy. Like, that's a little bit too much. I'd say Caleb Williams, just because he feels more like a legit overall number one pick. We were kind of going over yesterday. That 2021 class was just like this one in terms of talent at quarterback. Five quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks of the draft. 4 of them have been traded already to another team since 2021, all just for, you know, 6th, 7th round picks, stuff like that. And but the one guy who did hit was Trevor Lawrence as the number one overall pick. And I think Caleb Williams, for as much as I don't like him as a poor sport, I think he probably has all the tools to actually get it done.
Alex, good to have you back, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, this is all good practice for me. I got to get back in the swing of it. It's weird to take that much time off, so I'm glad to be back.
All right, we'll be listening this afternoon. Thanks,
Alex.
See you, fellas.
Alex Keery, co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.